We are popping off on Friday. What a great week. I don't know how it is in your part of the country, but it is absolutely stunning on the West Coast. We finally got a little bit of a reprieve. Now, I know when we say it's going to be like 90 or 92 degrees outside, you say, are you out of your mind? It's still over 90. But for us, it's not too bad because it's not real muggy. Had a couple of days of muggy, but it's all kind of going away now. And we're going to get, so you can be looking forward to the better weather. See, what happens is the weather starts on the West Coast. Now, I know this because I used to do weather for a while. I was a weather girl. Isn't that cute? Now with all the Doppler weather and all that, it just tells you everything by computer, all right? But the nice thing about it is it all kind of starts on the West Coast and then moves across the country. So if we're going to have some nice weather out here, in other words, cooling off a little bit, you should be cooling off in about 2 to 3 days. That's about how long it takes to get across country, and then you should feel a lot better. Let me put it that way. Anyway, we've got a great show set up for you today. If you are overstretched, overbooked, out of control, and you know what? I don't know anybody who isn't. We've got some answers for you from Ben Young. He wrote a book called Out of Control and how to control your life and get it back into some kind of reasonable manner so that you can go on and do what you need to do in your life. Also, if you have a wedding coming up in your life or you know someone who's getting married, it can be a nightmare. Well, we've got Judith and Jim. These guys have been on The View and 48 Hours. They've been on the Good Morning America, all that. And they tell us about the Smart Couple's Guide to the Wedding of Your Dreams, not your nightmares. But first, before we do that, it's Friday. It's the weekend coming. It's going to be a long weekend for a lot of folks because of the 4th of July. Oh, by the way, 4th of July, we will be off. There will be no pop-off radio show. We're just going to be doing music and kind of laying back and kind of enjoy it with our families, too. However, we'll be back. We'll be on Monday and Wednesday, but just not Tuesday. But since it's close to the weekend and a lot of folks are going to be going to the movies, then we have to have you-know-who. Well, it's...
Well, Saturday night at 8 o'clock, I know where I'm going to go. I'm going to pick my baby up and take her to the picture show.
Well, if you're going to take her to the picture show, then we got to talk to the lady who sees them, reviews them, and tells us if they are worth even the effort to get yourself out of the house to go and see. She's our Hollywood movie maven, our diva extraordinaire, Deborah Hill. Oh, and she does it just for the hill of it. Hello, Deborah.
Hi there, Mary Jane, Miss Pop-Up.
Well, I love it. You know, it's close to the weekend. I'm getting really vibrant because it's a great weekend to be here. It's a great weekend to be alive.
Yeah, Superman flies again.
You know, that's the whole thing. I kind of got that inspiration because I knew you were going to be talking about Superman Returns.
Yeah, boy, I tell you, I think the whole world knows Superman.
Oh, sure.
But I don't think they know the new name of Superman. A young, handsome young man. He's got charisma, too, so he may just last as Superman, but I hope he doesn't get stuck in that part because he looks like he has a lot of talent that he could expand on. But his name is Brandon Routh.
Brandon Routh?
R-O-U-T-H.
Oh, R-O-U-T-H. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he's from the Middle West, mm-hmm. And he's kind of charming. He's got that kind of folksy down Midwestern charm, you know. People in the Midwest seem to be friendlier and folksier and... you know, that kind of thing.
Endearing.
Yeah, kind of endearing. And he comes back after being away. Well, he's been away from the screen for almost 20 years now, but for 5 years he's been away from Lois Lane, and he didn't say goodbye, so she's a little ticked off that he left without saying goodbye, because it seems like in this film, their relationship is not just platonic.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
And taking it to the next step, huh?
He not only left behind Lois, he left behind some other very interesting things that they brought into this film. But what I like about this Superman is he seems to have more warmth, more sympathy. He's more vulnerable. There is a side where he could be devastated and destroyed if Kevin Spacey, who is looking to destroy, he's the villain in this picture.
Luther.
Yeah, and Kate Bosworth, she's the Lois Lane in this film.
Uh-huh.
And they have some very interesting scenes where he, I mean, the special effects are spectacular.
Really?
But so is the sound effects. So I had to wear earplugs because I have kind of sensitive hearing and sensitive smell. I'm kind of, women, it's been proven that women's hearing is more sensitive than men's on an average.
That's why we react all the time.
Yeah,
you hear it all.
I think so. I think you're right. I think that's one of the reasons why we do. And because we're more sensitive to things like hearing and taste and smell and all that kind of stuff. So I had to wear earplugs for this film, but I found it charming and lovable and interesting that he comes back to save the world again.
Is it true that they actually bring back a little, like a minute of Marlon Brando as being the original father?
A flick. You know, it's like a little cameo, and like Eva Marie Saint plays his mother, and it's like a flashback.
Ah.
And it happens kind of quick. And it's a two and a half hour movie.
That's long.
Yeah, it's long. I think any movie over 2 hours is too long.
Yeah, you're pushing it.
Yeah, you're pushing it because people are getting up to go to the bathroom and, you know, kind of, I don't think Hollywood understands that, but they get carried away.
I need two popcorns for that, you know.
Right. And, of course, Kevin Spacey, the villain, he's looking for that kryptonite that can destroy Superman. And Superman had actually left 5 years before to go look for his home planet. When he finally comes back, he does come back to Lois, and he finds that he's even surprised how Lois has changed.
Uh-oh. Is it good or bad?
There's a couple of surprises in this one. But overall, I say this: Superman Returns to fly right up to the top of the hill.
Do you think, you know, you mentioned something at the beginning, which I think is important, being typecast, stereotyped as a certain person, because the other Supermen in the past, that happened to them.
Yes, they got stuck in that role, and they couldn't seem to get other roles because everybody thought of them as Superman, and And they've had some bad luck. I hope the luck changes for this young man, you know, and becomes better than the Supermans of the past. The actors that have played Superman in the past have had some
awful luck, like Christopher Reeve. I think he did a suicide, or they think he did, and then, of course, the second Superman landed up being paralyzed from the neck down. Wow.
Yeah, he fell off a horse, which is a tragic thing. And It's kind of frightening. I mean, I think he's pretty brave just to step into this role.
Is he a good actor?
Yes.
Oh,
Brandon
good.
Roth. He kind of underplays the Superman role, but he's perfect as Clark Kent, kind of shy and retiring. And he's good. He's very good.
So,
and they did have, you know, actors on television playing Superman, like Small Town or Small World, whatever that was. That, you
so
know,
this
it's hard
one is
to
faster than a flying bullet. It goes to the top of the hill?
Yeah, right. And they looked around for this particular actor. They didn't just choose the ones that were on television for playing Superman on TV. So I think they did a good job of finding him.
So just be aware, though, sensitive ears, and make sure you do a potty break before you go in.
Yes.
Run to the
powder your nose before the film starts. But then we have Pirates of the Caribbean, which
before
is...
Before I do that, how is that? Is it rated like PG-13 or...?
Yeah, PG-13.
Oh, okay,
Superman.
Good.
Yeah, it's kind of a kid's... You know, Superman was born in 1938, came right out of DC Comics.
He looks good.
Yeah, he looks good for his age. Very good. You see what they can do?
Yeah.
But
modern plastic surgery, right?
Right, yeah. And a lot of makeup. Well, yeah. Makeup can do wonders. I'll never forget one time a few years ago, I went to interview an actress, and this woman opened the door, and I said, oh, hello, I'm here to interview. I won't say her name
mm-hmm.
because I didn't recognize her without her makeup.
Oh, yeah.
And when she said, "I am that actress," I thought, "Oh God, I just blew the interview."
Yeah.
You know,
all over for you.
I just blew the whole interview, just not recognizing her.
You're talking to major egos here, you know.
Oh yeah, oh major egos. And in the Pirates of the Caribbean, I enjoyed the original Pirates of the Caribbean, and I thought it was charming, original, funny, you know, very fresh in many ways. But this one, unfortunately, is not the same. We have Johnny Depp again. We have Orlando Bloom, and we have Keira Knightley. But it's gross and disgusting, and it's over 2.5 hours, which is much too long.
Gross
and the villains,
really? I mean, it's supposed to be a kids' movie.
I know. I think this movie would scare any kid under 10 years old.
Really?
Yeah, I think they'd be very frightened by the monsters that come from the deep, like Davy Jones' locker. That monster has a head of snakes, like Medusa, and snakes and worms and creepy crawler creatures. And this film, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest is the subtitle. It is so disgusting and gross that I had to close my eyes on some scenes because it was so mentally disturbing to me.
Well, but, you know, but disturbing to an adult, you can imagine what it's going to do to a kid.
Yeah. I don't recommend it for children under 10 at all. Maybe over 13, maybe the teenagers. Like, I'd say 15, 16, 17, they might like it. But
what's the rating on it?
It's PG-13. It's considered, well, PG, you have to be over 13, recommended for people over 13, which I think is a good idea because I think it would scare little kids.
I'll be done. Now, that's kind of interesting. You would think that they would stick to the original pattern that was successful for them, not try all this kind of weird and gooey stuff.
Well, you know, I think they didn't have a good idea for a good script, and what they used was special effects and costumes and monster makeup and creepy crawlers and a bunch of side effects. Like it seemed like a freak sideshow instead of a good, charming movie.
You know, you and I have talked about this before. Why is it that if they don't have a good script, wait until you do have one? It's like bad comedians. They'll refer to the four-letter words and, you know, go to the gross end of it instead of waiting until you can get a good joke that's going to really respond. It's easier to fill the immediate laugh, which is a nervous laugh. It's not a real thing. Same thing with this. It's just special effects instead of a storyline.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And I don't know why the studios do this.
Money.
Well, usually a sequel isn't as good as the original, although some sequels have been pretty good, but I don't think this one is good at all.
Well, we'll see. That opens. Did it open this weekend? Or it's going to open?
It's going to open in about a week, I believe.
About a week. Superman Returns, though, opens this weekend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Superman Returns is this weekend, but Pirates, I don't care when it opens because I'm rated at bottom of the hill.
Well, gee, Deborah, why don't you tell what you really think?
Yeah. I don't even care that they've got the star power in this one with the Johnny Depp thing, because I was really looking forward to it. But it's ugly, and it's too long, and it's boring. It really got boring.
Amazing.
And so I actually left, I guess, about 10 minutes before it ended. That's how much I thought of it, because I said, I can't stand any more of this ugly trash, boring, stupid film. So I left.
It.
But
I
saw a documentary that's coming out in July that I think everybody should see this film. It's called America, Freedom to Fascism.
Oh,
oh boy.
Who produced it?
Aaron Russo. Now, let me tell you, this guy is an award-winning filmmaker who produced The Rose with Bette Midler and Trading Places with Eddie Murphy. He's a real good producer, and he did a really good job on this documentary. And basically, I don't know anyone who enjoys paying income taxes.
Are you kidding?
But most people think it's the law. But in this eye-opening film, it exposes the fact that there is no law saying that the average American citizen has to pay income taxes.
Yeah, but see, Erwin Schiff also said that, and he's been spending a lot of time in jail.
Well, this is what Aaron Russo is trying to explain when he said that he recently discovered the truth behind this no law rumor that he's been hearing for years concerning the ratification of the 16th Amendment, which is also known as a tax amendment. And he goes around and he interviews government officials from the IRS to the FBI to politicians and tax attorneys and authors to find out exactly what is the Federal Reserve. And even he is surprised that the Federal Reserve is not part of our federal government at all,
no.
But it is a private banking corporation operated by unidentified private bankers.
That's called, it's all for their benefit, not ours.
Yeah, the Federal Reserve has the right to counterfeit money because now money is not backed by gold. So the Federal Reserve is a banking cartel, and thus the government works for a private bank, and the bank works for its owners. And the Federal Reserve technically is an illegal corporation. But many people think we have to pay income taxes to help pay for government services. But he explains that there are so many other taxes that pay for those services. And this tax is what the English called and fought against also. It called taxation without representation.
I thought we did that once already.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to do it again, I think, because income taxes could be compared to paying for protection against the government so they won't put you in jail.
Right.
But if every citizen stood up and said, no, I'm not paying income taxes, the government would have to change its policies because just the overwhelming population of protesters could not be put in our jails. Our jails are so overcrowded now that they couldn't possibly put all the law-abiding citizens in also.
Yeah, but you know, you're asking a lot of people who have become very complacent.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to put a fire under their butt and stir them up and tell them that we're now living in a fascist state.
Now, when's that coming out?
July 28th.
Okay, so we'll look for that one.
Yeah, and it says here that also, which is something very scary, recently our so-called democratic government is talking about forcing everyone to carry a national ID card and having a computer chip called a spy chip placed under our skin to track every move we make.
Don't think so.
So we must fight against this. We must fight back against this type of Americanism that we have today.
It's bad enough when we talk on the phone and on the radio. And it used to be seriously, Deborah, and you and I know, we go back enough time.
Yeah.
When I first started doing radio and television, I never felt compelled to not say anything. I could do anything I want. This is freedom of speech.
Right.
Now I kind of look over my shoulder anytime I say anything.
Well, watching America Freedom to Fascism was like watching a true-life horror film to me.
Wow.
Because we are a fascist nation now, and a fascist nation is one where big government and big corporations work together to stifle the people.
Well, President Bush got a setback today, or actually yesterday.
Well, you know, I don't even think that's the right setback to give him, because I saw the road to Guantanamo, and I saw the kind of people that we're dealing with. And to give these people leniency at all, even sure we're going to make mistakes and arrest some wrong people, but they in the road to Guantanamo, they let those people that they arrested wrongly, they're out.
Yeah,
they're
but
gone.
I think what they're basically saying is we don't want to give total autonomy to the president. You know, I don't want to give anybody total autonomy for anything because you can't get it back.
Yeah, well, we should fight against the whole government, not just the president.
You
the
bet.
Whole
oh.
administration,
agreed.
The whole Congress.
Agreed.
The politicians today are getting nothing done, and they're fooling the people by giving them bread and circuses.
Oh, yeah, they're doing something. They're doing fundraising so they can get elected again.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. And Americans are they got to wake up to the fact, and this is what Aaron Russo says in his films, Americans need to wake up to the fact that this America is not still the land of liberty that it started out to be. And there is, by the way, on my website, DeborahZHill.com, you'll see a review of this movie, and there's a link there to the website, FreedomToFascism.com, which will explain in more detail how we're being taken advantage of these days in more ways than one.
That's great. Now, I know next week we're going to talk about one, so I'm just going to tease it. We won't say anything other than, ooh, in Ohio.
The ooh in Ohio. Okay. I finally saw a funny film that was charming, and it stars Parker Posey, and Liza Minnelli does a little vignette in there as a sexual psychiatrist.
So let them guess what the O stands for next week, okay?
Right, let them guess. Because
okay, and again, the site, DeborahZHill.com.
DeborahZHill.com. You'll see a lot more. You'll see movie reviews, books I've written, pictures of all the movie stars I've interviewed, and all that kind of stuff.
And you know what? Just because you're so great and you had to sit through two and a half hour movies, I'll buy the popcorn.
Oh, thank you. And I love popcorn.
Take care and have a great week.
Have an entertaining week. I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, my love. Again, that's Deborah Z. Hill, and that's D-E-V as in Victoria, Deborah Z. Hill. And Z stands for Zoom Zoom, and this lady has got such Zoom Zoom energy you just would not believe. So it's DeborahZHill.com. It's a great site. A couple of things that you'll find there, not only the reviews that she does, but she's got wonderful gallery of photos that she has with stars, because she attends so many parties and so many get-togethers, and she sees all these people. So that's all there. And in addition to that, in that fact, my mug face is even in one of those photos. And then, as she said, she has links to everything. And by the way, we're setting up right now so that you will be able to log on to popoff.com or DeborahZHill.com or LamasBeauty.com. And you can kind of look through some of this other stuff while you're listening to the radio show. All that is being set up now as we speak. And as soon as that's all done, I will get back with you, and I will let you know so that, you know, sometimes you might just want to, you know, go someplace else and read some other things while you're listening to the show. So we want to make sure you do that, too. And who knows? We may have some video that might come along with it. So some exciting things that are coming, but, yeah, you have to implement one step at a time. So right now it's popoff.com, and it's looking for good entertainment on Popoff, as we always do. Coming up, we're going to be talking about weddings. This is the season for weddings. I mean, it starts in June, goes through about August, September. And I tell you, people go crazy when they talk about weddings and trying to figure out what they want to do with their wedding, how they're going to handle their wedding. And it just gets to be a nightmare instead of a time that you want to remember for the rest of your life. Well, we hopefully can make it a little bit better for you. And we're going to tell you how right here on Pop Off. Diamond ring can mean something beautiful, but not if it's a nightmare for you and your loved one. So is this the big one, the one that you will remember? It's your wedding day, for heaven's sake, but look out. It can turn out to be the wedding day from hell if you're not careful. So listen up to Judith and Jim and the Smart Couple's Guide to the Wedding of Your Dreams. From The View and 48 Hours, they tell it like it is, or maybe like it should be, on Pop Off. Judith and Jim, welcome, welcome. Close. We're going to get Judith and Jim on with us momentarily. And, you know, we're going to get them on. It is a fax line, by the way, Donald, but you will be able to reach them. So just go ahead and try again. They will be there, I promise you. Okay. It's one of those things where they do the interviews. It's kind of interesting when we set these interviews up. They actually do an interview on their fax line, which doesn't have call waiting, which is a good idea, because otherwise you get all kinds of beeps going on the air, and we don't want to do that. So they will actually be there. I just talked to them this morning, so we should be fine. We're going to be talking with Judith and Jim. They are terrific people, as a matter of fact. Hey, Judith and Jim, nice to have you with us on Pop Off.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
We're good. How are you?
Great. I'm going to have you speak up a little bit. You're very, very faint, so I think it's because both of you are online.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Just go ahead and speak a little bit loud. I know that Judith, you've got a little laryngitis, right?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to switch phones with Judith.
Okay, terrific.
Hold on a moment.
And I want to make sure that Judith used the little recipe that I gave
How's
her.
That?
Did you use my recipe, Judith?
Hello?
Hi, Judith. Did you use my recipe?
You know, we got onto a conference call, and I have not had a chance to do it.
Okay, but you got to promise to do it. Folks, let me tell them about the little recipe. This is something that I got from opera stars that I've talked to, and I'm a singer myself, so I had to be very careful. If I get a little scratchy throat or a little laryngitis, I get nervous. It is 5 ounces of water, 3 ounces of red wine vinegar. It has to be red wine vinegar, no other kind. And now the salt, you can kind of modify a little bit. I use 3 tablespoons of salt. You put that in a glass jar, shake that sucker up, and you have to shake it up every time you use it. You take a little bit, you gargle, and you spit that stuff up. And I'm telling you, what comes up is kind of really bad. But it'll help you, and it takes the laryngitis away, like, almost immediately. It's just terrific. So, Judith, don't forget and use that this weekend, okay?
All right. Thank you, Mary Jane.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about this thing called wedding day, or should I say day from hell if it's not done the right way, right?
Exactly.
Now, most of the time, it always falls to the female, the bride, to come up with everything. That's wrong. Shouldn't it be shared?
Yes, absolutely. And but Mary Jane, we have to be compassionate with humanity, because there was a time when, in fact, it was the only day in the woman's life where she was celebrated publicly in the public square and in the village. She was paraded back and forth in all of her finery. So, in fact, and I'm talking several hundred years ago, in fact, it was her day, and so tradition has brought it forward with that idea. But now, in the 21st century, it really is a misnomer. It should be their day.
Absolutely. And that way, you know, the guy, instead of just hanging out there and being a part of the scenery, he feels like it's special for him, too.
Precisely.
Exactly. And then he's also going to be prepared to be part of that partnership of the marriage, instead of, again, just sort of an auxiliary person in the marriage who is going to be disappointing her when he got trained through all that wedding planning to let her do everything. And now in the marriage, she'll be mad if he's not helping with the trash, not helping with the laundry, and so forth.
You know what drives me crazy, guys? And you tell me your read on this. You have a mom, and usually the mother of the bride, and sometimes even the mother of the groom. It doesn't make any difference. But she didn't have a special day. Maybe, you know, they got married quickly. You know, who knows? Maybe they didn't have the finances to do it. So now she's going to live through her daughter or her son's wedding. And they try and take over. Then it's not the couple's wedding anymore.
You know, Mary Jane, we talked to a woman who is in Albany, New York. She works for one of the television stations, and we were speaking with her. And she said that every time she looks at her wedding photo, she hates it. And the reason she hates it is because the gown that she's wearing was purchased. She did not have the spine to say to her mother, I want my own or a different kind of gown, or I'll buy it myself or whatever. And this woman was not, it was not financially strapped. The mother bought the gown, and it was the gown the mother never had.
Mm.
And the bride now looks at it, and it's been a number of years, 2 or 3 years since she's married. She says, every time I look at that, I hate it. I can't look at my own wedding picture.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah, sure. Now, again, I can understand. You know, I come from, to be kind, I would say upper, lower class working family. And when I was growing up, we had nothing. So I can imagine a female then getting married and doing it in some way that she might consider poor, and then getting some money or having a daughter and wanting it. I can understand all of that. But it's still an imposition. And we think it's the daughter. It's the daughter and her groom's responsibility to create a joint vision, a joint sense of what the wedding they want the wedding to look like and what it means, so that when somebody comes along and wants to impose their idea, the two of them can stand and make a front to say, thank you so very much. We really we respect and appreciate your intention, but we want it done this way.
I love it that you even say, be careful even of wedding coordinators, which are really hot right now.
Well, yeah. Wedding coordinators can cause a problem.
Well, all too often, when the bride and the groom are passive, they will allow that wedding coordinator to take over. And it might feel fine to avoid the stress and avoid any conflict to let the wedding coordinator take over. But, Mary Jane, you know that then they're going to be disappointed in the long run, because it's not going to be their wedding. And And quite frankly, that's one of the reasons that we wrote the Smart Couple's Guide to the Wedding of Your Dreams, is to encourage every wedding couple, every bride and every groom, to insist that it be their personal wedding, so that their memories are delicious and so that they have a great time.
Absolutely. You know, I got to tell you, and this, my husband and I have been married for 35 years now.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah. Going on 36. And when we got married, it was the most fun day. Now, he was in the service at the time, but I would write to him. I would send him stuff and, you know, hey, what do you think of this? And we're going to make this. And we landed up making it like a Camelot wedding. And he was in his service uniform. I had this huge gown with brocade and fur and frilly stuff. And my bridesmaids were all in different colored velvet because we got married in January. And the day of the wedding was so fun for us that neither of us were stressed. He was out there going, giving directions. Hey, you go there. You go here. Here, I'm in the room with the bridesmaids. Say, calm down. Everything's fine. We're having fun. It was great.
Well, see, but again, the reason we recommend that people do exactly what you did, not the Camelot part, but whatever they want, because you made it personal.
Yeah.
Most of the weddings that you see now are just repeats of over and over again, thousands, millions of couples saying the same words, so that we really, in our book, The Smart Couple's Guide to the Wedding of Your Dreams, we recommend, the theme of the book is make it as personal as you can. Even if you want a traditional wedding, make it personal somehow, because if you don't, the wedding doesn't belong to you, it belongs to someone else.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's so amazing, because they even did a whole big spread in the newspaper on us, because it was unique. I mean, nobody, I came from a show business atmosphere, and I loved being on stage. So I said, hey, we're going to make it a spectacular, which is fun stuff. It wasn't huge. We only had about 150 people at the wedding, but it was ours, and it was special, and we did special things with, you know, in the church when we got married. We made sure everybody said hello to the other people. We had them go across the aisle and shake hands so they knew each other, not have this separation and not even enjoy the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And you made it about relationships, not about spending a fortune and ending up in debt. I mean, you were so smart and so wise. Well, not surprising, it was you, but really creative and marvelous. But we are dismayed, Mary Jane, that in the last 15 years, the average cost of weddings has gone up 75%.
How much?
What that tells us is that the couples have their focus in the wrong place, and not on what you're describing that you did with your wedding, which is to have it on the heart and soul of the event.
And you, by the way, are a testimony to the very thing we're talking about. 36 years later, and you still talk about it with joy, care, and passion.
Yeah, it was such fun. And didn't have to go to a special place for the gown, because I helped design it and make it with a dressmaker. And all my bridesmaids, they got patterns. Go pick your own color of velvet, and you have it made or you make it. Instead, they saved tons of money.
But not only that, they could use it again.
Yes, exactly.
Instead of, we were just in Calgary, Canada, to a wedding. And the wedding that we attended, all of the bridesmaids were in this kind of dopey peach-colored, very uninteresting dress.
Uh-huh.
And then we went to a local park, which is the thing to do in Calgary when you're married, because everybody goes to this park to have their pictures taken. And there was a bridal party, and the bridesmaids were in black. And I went over specifically because they were in black, and I said, why? Well, the bride's gown was trimmed in black, but what she said to her bridesmaids was, I want you to have a gown, I want you to have a dress you're going to be able to use again. I just want it black. Go do whatever you want.
That's great.
Yeah.
See, these are the things that, you know, people need to, and you're giving them permission. See, I think that's the problem.
Right.
You look at the bride's magazines, and they're all, to me, it's like clones. Everything is cloned. And you're saying you have permission to do what you want.
Right. Precisely.
Yes. And we have received responses to our book from brides who have said that the number one thing they appreciated was the permission to follow their own taste and their own style, and to ignore the so-called etiquette mavens who were dictating certain things that they weren't interested in, they didn't want to do.
So, and if they did, as I said before, then the wedding isn't theirs, it belongs to someone else.
Exactly. The other thing, too, that I think is great, you say this is a mistake, inviting people you don't want, and that can include children.
That's right. Inviting people you don't want, again, is... Well, let me go back and say it this way. your wedding day, and we all hope the wedding lasts an entire lifetime. So in that context, the wedding day is one of the most significant days of your life. It is meaningful. It is not only civil, it is spiritual, it is depthful. Something very significant is occurring, and particularly for a first marriage where you are leaving a particular stage of being alive and moving into another stage, why would you want somebody there who you didn't want? I mean, why would you allow somebody to be there who you didn't want there, regardless of the social or familial obligations?
You bet.
Because, you know, it's like, for example, another significant day in your life is the birth of your child. And these days, of course, the childbirth can be viewed by the father in the delivery room. Well, why not invite people off the street?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same kind of thing. You don't want them there. So as a consequence, don't have them there, because when they're there, it strips the meaning and the memorability of the event for you.
Well, I just want to comment. I think that what we're talking about, all three of us, is the transition from the bride and groom being treated as children, where the parents, whether it be the bride's parents or both sets of parents, pay for pretty much everything and then dictate how that wedding is going to be. And then we've got a young bride and a young groom getting married and not knowing what they're doing. And the transition to where the wedding belongs to the bride and the groom, and they behave like adults, and it is their wedding, and therefore they don't have to invite people that they don't want. And Mary Jane, you mentioned children. You know, we know that some people adore having kids in the wedding and at the wedding, and they're prepared for the kind of antics that kids can do when they're uncomfortable or nervous. But for some people, for anyone listening who feels obligated to have their niece or somebody in their wedding that they feel uncomfortable, that, you know, the child might start laughing or being inappropriate, don't do it. It's your wedding. Do not take the risk that some child will act up, as children are wont to do. No blame to the child, but don't lose the focus of the wedding being about you, the bride and the groom.
You know, the whole thing is, you know, have some spine. I remember when we ordered the cake, the wedding cake, and I said, I want a fountain in the wedding cake, and I want it to be a usable fountain on the bottom and then have the layers on top of it. And the cake said, now you got to understand, it's 35 years ago, right? And they said, we can't do that. I said, yeah, you can. And instead of putting fake flowers or kind of flowers from the sugar on it, I want real flowers and paint them, you know, dye them with different colors so they're all on the cake. It was beautiful when it was done, but boy, did they fight me every step of the way.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. Yeah, and again, with all fairness, the reason people fight back is because they're so entrenched in their old ways of doing. They have systems all set up, and also mentally, they do not have the vision to see that there are other possibilities. And so what you're coming in, particularly somebody as inventive as what you did for your wedding, you're really shaking up what they normally are expecting. And that's what we try to do with our book, The Smart Couple's Guide to the Wedding of Your Dreams. We are, in a real way, trying to shake things up and have people have a different idea of what it is to be, not to be married, but what the wedding means and how to keep it really focused on the point of it, which are the vows and the pledge the pledge that you give to one another to be able, that you're going to spend your life with each other.
And write your own vows.
Yes.
We wrote our own vows, but there was even something else that we said. Back then, I was still a rebel, but I was a real rebel back then. And it was like they would say husband and wife. That's the way I want it. Not man and wife.
Right.
It's husband and wife, not man and wife. I'm not being owned anymore.
Mary Jane, you're not a rebel. You are a visionary.
Well,
you are a wise one.
It's what made me comfortable. I mean, I was so bad. I trained my own choir to sing for the wedding. And then I wanted to sing the Ave Maria because I'm Catholic, so it was a Catholic ceremony. And so I just taped it. I mean, you know, everybody went, really? You're going to do? Yeah, why not? Who says I can't?
You know, for our wedding, I rewrote the lyrics to Amazing Grace. And then Judith, I did the first draft. We did it ultimately together. We had the person sing our lyrics to the melody of Amazing Grace. And then we had three different versions of the Alleluia. We had a standard classic version, we had a blues version, and a jazz version.
Oh, I love
it. And Judith and I sang part of it as a duet.
That's it. Now, you remember that for always and forever.
Right, exactly.
Right. Yeah. Now, yeah. I want to make sure that they know, first of all,
it.
How to get the book and
then
the website.
I'm sorry, Mary Jane, say again?
I want to make sure they know how to get the book and also how to go to your website.
Sure. Our website is Smart Wedding Couples. I'll say it again, smartweddingcouples, plural, .com. And when they go there, they can there's a free two-chapter download that can give people a sense of the book. And right beneath the link for the free two-chapter download is a link where they can go and purchase the book. Or they can get it, and they can get it at Amazon, and they can get it at whatever bookstore.
Excellent. And I'll have that up on my website, too.
Thank you so much, Mary Jane.
Come back and visit again. We got other things to talk about.
It's our pleasure.
Look forward to it.
Thank you, my love. And I hope you feel better, Judith. Gargle.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Again, folks, very, very simple. It's Smart Wedding Couples, and it's plural, couples, smartweddingcouples.com. They got tons of information there that you will have, and it will help you. And maybe you can help out a friend or a family member who might be getting married, too. Again, make it special. And it's called The Smart Couples Guide to the Wedding of Your Dreams, available at the bookstores as well as online, or you can go to smartweddingcouples.com. They got some great tips there, too. I love it when they have a nice website that's not just a site that says, oh, hello, buy this. You know, it's, hello, here's some tips for you, here's the way it goes, and if you want to buy the book, that's fine. It's the Smart Folks Guide on Pop-Off, and that's what we try and give you on everybody that we have on the show. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you harried and hassled, and you just don't know where to turn anymore? You know, I remember a time, and I'm going to ask my next guest about this, when I was maybe 15, 20 years ago, when I first started doing business on radio and television, they told us that we were only going to be working like 30-hour weeks, and we better know how to handle our leisure time. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm working twice as hard as I did back then for probably half as much. So that means we've got so much going on in our life that it's driving us absolutely up the wall. Now, if it's doing that to you, maybe we can give you some really, really good tips on how to handle your life to make it a little easier so that you can enjoy life as well as the work that you do. SOS means, do you ever feel like you just can't get caught up with anything anymore? With cell phones and Blackberries and PDAs and iPods and, oh my gosh, you can cram 30 hours into a 24-hour day, or at least to try. Blessing or curse, it's there, and we have to face it. Well, Ben Young says that you can be out of control in his book by the same name. So if you're overstretched, overbooked, and out of control, step off. And you are going to be out of control no more, because we're going to take you on a treadmill that will help you find some peace. Hi, Ben. Nice to have you with us on Pop Off.
Thanks, Mary Jane. It's great to be here.
You know, life was supposed to be easier. What happened?
Now, that is a great question. I don't know if I have the answer of that. I think it's just the growth of the Industrial Revolution. I think it goes back decades and decades ago. And we're simply living out some of the logical implications of that as far as our addiction and our worship of technology in our culture today. That's feeding a lot of this sense of being out of control, life is moving too fast, and I don't know if I can get off this crazy treadmill.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the gadgets are terrific. We need to have them, and you can't survive without them, and the computers, the iPads, and all that stuff. But it can get to a point where it totally takes control of your life.
It does. And again, I'm not against technology, and we're not against that in the book per se, but what we're simply saying is this. We're asking questions. Are you controlling technology, or is technology controlling you? I mean, think about it. One of the problems is in our culture is we're too available. I mean, 10, 15 years ago, all you had was your work phone and your home phone and letters, okay, to contact you primarily. Now we have work phone, cell phone, email, instant message, text message, BlackBerry, and some people still have a fax machine. So you, if you want to, you can be available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When I was a kid, my brother and I, we grew up in the Carolinas, and we thought the whole concept of a 7-Eleven was so fantastic, a store that's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We thought that was incredible. Now, that's no big deal.
No.
And as a matter of fact, Mary Jane, our lives have become like a 7-Eleven. We're always open, we're never closed, and we're beginning to pay a price for it in our anxiety, our stress, our eating, and in a multiplicity of ways.
I don't know if we can even find true peace anymore, can we?
You know, I think we can. Again, we live in a broken, fallen world. I believe that. That's obvious anytime you turn on the news or pick up a newspaper. So there's never going to be nirvana here or heaven on earth, so to speak. However, I do believe that we can find some sense of peace and rest within our schedule if we're willing to take a few steps to work for it. I remember a song years ago, I think it's back in the 80s, that said, you have to fight for the right to party.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at a point, I know in my life, we have to fight for the right to have rest, to have refreshment, and to have a sense of peace in our life. So it's not going to come magically by sitting on top of a mountain one day and meditating with incense around you, though that may not be a bad idea. It's going to happen through hard work. It's going to be happen through being intentional and being proactive and building in rest and relaxation and building in boundaries into your schedule.
How do we deal with being guilty? You know, we feel guilty when we're not doing something.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'll tell you what some things I've done. And again, I'm not saying, and we're not saying in our book, we've got all the answers. We have arrived. But we're saying, here's some things we have learned. Here's some things we've helped people out in their lives to do. Years ago, I looked at my life, and I realized my life was completely out of control. Mm-hmm. I was spread way too thin. I was trying to cram way too many things into my schedule. I was addicted to my technological toys. And my marriage and my family and my work really was suffering from this, but trying to be too many things for too many people. And so one of the things we started doing as a family about a year, year and a half ago, was practicing some semblance of Sabbath time. Remember back in 1902, we used to have blue laws, so Sundays, everybody had, in a sense, a day off.
Mm-hmm.
Today, you have to really work and struggle to get a day off. And even when we're off, we're not off. Mm-hmm. So what we do is, we unplug our landline, we don't answer our cell phone, we unplug it, we don't go to the laptop, we don't watch TV, and we simply enjoy a meal as a family, hang out, play board games, go to the park, play soccer, and enjoy nature. And when you start to practice, Mary Jane, a little bit of Sabbath time, you realize that this world's going to go on without you. The things that you're striving for and grasping for that are so important will be there, you know, the next day, and they'll be there when you're gone.
Even like with the 4th of July coming, we sometimes cram it so much because that's the only day off we have, you know, so we got to cram it full of things. Well, who says you have to? Why not just kick back and relax?
Yeah, I agree with that. And again, you go to Europe, and in Europe, they understand that. I've had friends of mine, I live in Houston, and so we have a lot of Shell employees, and Shell is based in Holland. And they'll go over to Amsterdam, and they're amazed when they're in Den Haag or Amsterdam. At 5 o'clock, everybody goes home. They hang out. They enjoy a meal. They enjoy wine there on the street corner. And they have a more sense of pace and a more sense of rhythm in their life. Again, I'm not against hard work. I'm not against being busy and going for it. My question is this. We can't do it all the time. The problem is our work and our busyness and our sense of being always on is bleeding over into our social lives and bleeding over into our family lives and having a detrimental effect.
Now, there's got to be some warning signs when we're starting to lose it.
Yeah, there's several. One of them is you find yourself saying this. When people ask how you're doing, you don't say fine. You say, I'm so busy, or I'm crazy busy. And that's your go-to response. That's a sign you may be out of control. Another sign, Mary Jane, is that you're overweight. I mean, you continue to gain 5, 10 pounds. You go on South Beach, then you end up Washed Ashore. You go on Atkins, and then pretty soon you're shoveling down blueberry muffins and bread. So to me, being out of shape physically is a sign that you're also out of control. Another thing is, you mentioned earlier in the show, is your schedule. You're always trying to cram one more event into your schedule, one more activity, or one more cell phone call. As you're going home, as you're pulling into the garage, you stay in the garage an extra 20 minutes talking to your cell phone when you should be inside, either chilling out or with your family.
No, you're right. You're up to, and I'm guilty. I'm holding my hand up. I'm guilty.
I am too. I am too.
But you know what? You say we should receive permission to slow down and put life in God's control. But, you know, God did give us a brain to control ourselves.
He did, and he gave us the ability. To me, the most powerful word in the English language is the word yes. We love to hear the word yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you're going to get a raise. Yes, she's going to marry you. Yes is a very powerful word. However, we need to learn how to say another word, and that's the word we teach our little kids, and we say often to our children, no.
Oh.
No. We need to say, have times in our days, have times in our weeks where we say no to the cell phone, no to checking my BlackBerry every 5 minutes, no to having to respond to every stupid email that comes our way, and no to adding on one more activity, be it work or whatever, for volunteer purposes. So simply, we can learn how to recharge our batteries. I was going home the other day in my car, and I noticed that my little precious, also known as my cell phone, was losing its charge. And my cell phone is so smart, whoever designed it, it will automatically shut down before the cell phone totally depletes itself of its energy. If our cell phones need to recharge their batteries, how much more do we need to recharge our spiritual, physical, and psychological batteries? And that's what we talk about how to do in our book.
And I'll bet you any money you started panicking when you saw that power going away from that cell phone.
I did. What am I going to do? I'm going to actually drive home in silence, maybe enjoy some peace.
I'm
not as important as I think that I am.
Years ago, I fought the cell phone. I know this sounds really tacky, but I fought getting a cell phone because I said, you know, the automobile, that car, that was my only salvation, that I could get in there and nobody could get me. I was in traffic. I could relax. I eat my popcorn and listen to the radio, relax, whatever I wanted to do. And now I had to give in. You know, years ago, I had to give in and get the cell phone. Like you said, now we got the laptop. Now it follows us wherever we go.
It does. It's interesting. The guy that I co-authored this book with is a clinical psychologist, Dr. Samuel Adams, and he has a full-time practice. He sees sometimes 40 clients a week.
Wow.
He has 4 children ranging from the age of 15 and 4, and he didn't have a cell phone.
No.
I was at his house a while back, and I got on the Internet, and he had AOL 2.0.
You're kidding.
So you can do it and survive as a professional in our society without these gadgets. Now, again, we're not saying take your cell phone, throw out the window right now, take your laptop and chunk it in the lake. Again, we're trying to say you can control technology. Technology does not have to control you.
Now, do you have a website?
I do. My website is benyoung.org,
okay.
And it's benyoung.org, and it's a very simple website. All you can do is have the book there, and if you want to order it that way, or you can go to Amazon.com as well.
And now, what about the book itself, Out of Control? Like you said, Amazon. Is it in the bookstores, too?
Yeah, it's in the bookstores. The best way I would get it is Amazon.com. It's called Out of Control, Finding Peace for the Physically Exhausted and Spiritually Strung Out.
Man, that's like 90% of the population, you know?
It is. And again, like I said, I'm in recovery. I'm not riding from an ivory tower. I've got a very busy life. But I have discovered a few things that will bring some sense of peace and refreshment and restoration into your life.
Hey, listen, we all need that. And, you know, it's the permission that we need to have so that we can go ahead and conquer.
That's the truth. And we're trying to give that to everyone, including ourselves.
Thank you, Ben. I'm taking the day off.
All right, Mary Jane. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you so much. Come back and visit again.
I would love to.
Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
At benyoung.org, and the name of the book, Out of Control. And, you know, I think we're all there. We're going to get back in control, though, with tips on pop-off, as we always do. Want to make a difference in your life. I want to thank you so much for joining us on pop-off, as always. Don't forget, go to pop-off, that's P-O-P-P-O-S-F, pop-off.com. And there I'll have all the names of the guests, their websites, the book names, all of that will be there for you. I want to make sure that that's all available to you. And also, I'd love to hear from you, MaryJane@popoff.com. Let me know where you're emailing me from so that when we take a tour with the show and or the book that's coming out, Marilyn Joe and Me, June DiMaggio Tells It Like It Was to Mary Jane Pop, that I can come and visit you and we'd love to be able to do that. In the meantime, you have a great weekend. We'll talk with you Monday. We won't be here Tuesday, but we'll be here Monday. In the meantime, live simply, laugh often, love deeply, and above all else, you dare to dream.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.